Welcome to our service for the 10th Sunday after Trinity. We're looking today at the first of what we hope will become a series on the website, based on a series of paintings and drawings by Lee, one of our parishioners. Drawings are based on the I Am statements of Jesus in John's Gospel. Our time of penitence. Father, you come to meet us when we return to you. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, you convince us of sin and righteousness. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have done what we ought not to have done, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 10th Sunday of Trinity. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings. Darlleniad o lyfr cyntaf y Brenhinoedd. Yna aeth i ogof i aros, a daeth gair yr arglwydd ato yn dweud, Beth a wneud i yma, Elias? A dywed oedd yntau, Bi mi'n selog iawn dros arglwydd diw y lluoedd. Cefnodd yr Israeliaid ar dy gyfamod a bwrw'r dallorau i lawr, a lladd dy ryffwydi a'r cleddif. Mae fi'n unig sydd ar ôl, ac y maent yn ceisio feinio sinnau. Yna, dywedid wrtho, dos allan a saf ar y mynydd o flaen yr arglwydd, a dyma'r arglwydd yn dod heibio. Bu gwynt cryf nerthol yn rhwygo mynyddoedd a dryllio creigau o flaen yr arglwydd, ond nid oedd yr arglwydd yn y gwynt. Ar ôl y gwynt, bu deargryn, nid oedd yr arglwydd yn y deargryn. Ar ôl y ddeargryn, bu tân, nid oedd yr arglwydd yn y tân, ac ar ôl y tân, distawrwydd llethol. Pan glywodd Elias, lapiodd ei wyneb yn ei fantell a mynd i sefyll yng ngenau'r ogof, a daeth llais yn gofyn iddo, Beth a wneud i yma, Elias? A tebodd yntau, Bi mi'n selog iawn dros arglwydd ei wylluoedd. Cefnodd yr Israeliaid ar dy gyfamod a bwrw dallorau i lawr, a llad y broffwydi a'r cleddif. Mae fi'n unig sydd ar ôl, ac y maent yn ceisio feinio sinnau. A dywedodd yr arglwydd wrtho, Dos yn ôl i gyfeiriad yn alwch anialwch Damascus, a phan gyrheiddi Eneinia Hasael yn frenin ar Syria, a Jehu fab Nimsi yn frenin ar Israel, ac Eliseis fab Saffat o Abel Mehola yn broffwyd yn dy le. Pwy bynnag fydd yn dianc rhag cleddif Hasael, bydd Jehu yn ei ladd. Pwy bynnag fydd yn dianc rhag cleddif Jehu, bydd Eliseis yn ei ladd. Ond gadawaf yn weddill yn Israel y 7,000 sydd heb plygu glin i Baal na'i gisani. A dyma air yr arglwydd. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, Do not say in your heart, Who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, No one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Still, still, boy.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. It seems to surprise lots of people outside the church that we do this weekly online service and CD for parishioners who don't use the internet. I sometimes think that people outside the church imagine that the vicar writes his sermons with a quill pen on a parchment scroll. As most of you know, the online service is put together mostly with mobile phones. Different parishioners record different sections of it on their own phone and send the recording to me, usually as an email attachment. I have, from Sam, a very easy to use bit of free software in which I can make them into a coherent whole. It's not, as they say, rocket science. By another of the wonders of the mobile phone, our son Joe sent us a picture this week. It was him and his two daughters sitting with their uncle Mike in Mike's brand new shiny kitchen in our house in Smethwick near Birmingham. Mike lives in the house we inherited from my dad. When we inherited it, it had no hot water, no central heating, and a kitchen which would have been condemned as a health hazard in a refugee camp in Beirut. But thanks in large part to Sam working for a kitchen company, we've been able to install a decent kitchen at a reduced price. It's a revolution. In the picture, the family group are all in the foreground eating tea at the kitchen table, and behind them are arrayed all the new kitchen units and the new washing machine as the light streams through the kitchen window. It's a joyful scene. It took me a while to work out what was wrong with it. The light seemed to be coming in from the wrong direction, and the washing machine was at the wrong end of the row of units. In fact, somehow, the process of taking the picture and transmitting it to me had transposed it. It was like looking at the kitchen in a mirror. I've been working a little bit with pictures recently with Lee, one of our parishioners from Cross Inn Church. Lee is an artist and has created a lovely series of pictures based on Jesus' revelation of himself and his Father, mainly based on the I Am statements from John's Gospel. I'd been working to put a textual reflection alongside each of them, which we hope to be able to publish alongside the pictures on our website. Each individual text, of course, is what I've spoken and written about many times before. They're staples of Christian teaching. Every vicar will have had a stab at a series of sermons or group discussions based on the I Am statements at one time or another. So it was important, so far as I could do it, that these new reflections were specifically related to the pictures as Lee had created them. It wouldn't do just to say what I usually say about these texts or what I've said before. A simple example is the very first one. I am the gate. Based on Jesus' saying, I am the gate of the sheepfold. Again, every vicar who's ever preached on that text will probably have told his or her congregation that in Palestine, in Jesus' time, the sheepfold would usually be just a handy natural rock formation. The shepherd made himself the gate of it by lying down across the entrance to it at night, so that the sheep could not get out without waking him. But Lee's picture is just based on the words, I am the gate, and the gate she has painted is a wooden one in a dry stone wall, the grass in front of it slightly overgrown. Essentially, a rustic gate to an English garden. It's a gate you can imagine a Jane Austen heroine walking through with a basket of calf's foot jelly on her way to do charitable duty among the poor of the parish. It started me thinking, actually, about my own very English entrance into the faith of Christ. An English grammar school choir boy, joining an Oxford College chapel choir, beginning to take the meaning of the 1662 Church of England Evensong service for himself. My own gate, my own way into the faith, might well be represented as the gate to an English garden. If you are an Anglican, the picture of your way into faith probably will not at first include your baptism, because you will have been baptised when you were an infant, and of course you won't remember it. We're baptising a little girl at Penbrin on Sunday, God willing. We're careful about putting children's names out in our online service, so for the purposes of this recording, we'll call her Lily. If someone asked Lily in later life to draw a series of pictures illustrating her faith journey, it might, though, be one of them. The picture of her parents and grandparents standing round the font in the church where her parents were married, as she is baptised into the Christian faith and into the Church of Christ. In Lily's journey of faith, if and when she has one, all the other people in the picture will have been important, her parents most of all. For some people, it's actually that experience of being a parent that opens the door to faith. You may have seen the television presenter Stacey Dooley in television trailers over these last few days, speaking about the overwhelming love she feels for her first newborn child. She'd never thought of herself as an especially maternal person, would never really have said that she knew she wanted children. So it has come as more of a surprise to her that she's been overwhelmed by this flood of love. She tries to explain it, to some extent, by the hormone storm of pregnancy and giving birth. That won't quite explain, of course, why so many fathers feel the same way. Indeed, in some respects, it appears that the change in fathers is more marked. Apparently, before a woman is a mother or a man a father, if you show them the same picture of a newborn infant, there's a measurable difference in physical response. The pupils of the man's eyes, for example, don't dilate as the woman's do. But once the man has become a father, that difference more or less disappears. There's something about being a parent that makes you look at yourself and at the world in a new way. And for some people at least, it does become the gate to faith, or at the very least, the gate into feeling that there is a purpose and a meaning to life of which love is somehow the fullest expression. That's why, in baptism, we ask the parents of the child to state their faith. There'll be other influences along the way. Grandparents are often important, friends and peers, and eventually, of course, lovers and partners. All these people may have an influence on the formation of faith in Lily's life. The most moving part of my friend Doug's funeral was when the three men who had been his childhood friends gave testimony to what he meant to them and how Doug and his family, especially I think Doug's father, had been instrumental in the formation of the faith to which they all hold fast to this day. So with Lily, there will be other influences in her life, but her parents will be most crucial. We all tend to respect, at least at first, the people and places, the ideas and institutions to which our parents give respect. There's always a reassessment, of course. In our Bibles, we can find it in the story of the prodigal son. When he comes back home, after the mess he has made of his life, what is important is not so much that he has come round to his father's way of thinking. What matters is that he can now stand before his father and make his own statement of himself for himself. And as we imagine that wonderful and timeless story, we know that far away as he has wandered, it is the values that are expressed in his father's love and generosity that have given him the capability to understand himself. He has grown up, but growing up has brought him home to love. If you are the kind of person who thinks in pictures, you might like to take a moment to wonder what kind of door or gate might be the best picture of the way you came to faith. But like the picture of the kitchen, it might depend which way round you look at it. The most famous picture ever painted on any of the I Am statements of Jesus is called The Light of the World by the English artist Holman Hunt. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In Hunt's painting, Christ holds a lantern in his hand to symbolise that light. But with his other hand, he is also knocking at a door, because the text that Hunt really wants to illustrate is from Revelation. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you. Whichever way you look at that picture of the kitchen, it's still a wonderful thing, trust me, compared to the way that the kitchen was before. And whichever way you look at this story, it's still a picture of joyful opportunity. But with apologies to Robert Plant, it may not be that you are knocking on heaven's door. It may be that heaven is knocking on yours. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, says Jesus, I will come into you. Amen. Sessions today, for the first time online, will be led by Christy, so welcome to her. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. En tad o'r hynnwyd yn y nefoedd, sancteiddia dy enw, deled dy dernas gwnela dy wychlis, megis yn y nef echli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bar o beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y ma fewn unna ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwen ni y brofedigaeth, eithau gwared ni srag drwg, can i seith o ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes. Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, we are here to worship you. Meet with us afresh this day. We come to reflect on your greatness, your otherness, your righteousness, and your holiness. We come to praise you for your faithfulness, your goodness, your kindness, and your forgiveness. We come through the grace of Christ and in the power of your Holy Spirit, recognizing you as our God, our Father, and our Creator. We come to bring ourselves, all we are and do, to bring our loved ones, all they mean to us and others, to bring you our fellowship in all its variety and richness, to bring our world with all its joy and all its sorrow. Almighty and everlasting God, we come to speak, to listen, to seek, and to find. Meet with us afresh this day, filling us with the knowledge of your presence, and so help us to walk each day in the light of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for your church here in St. David's Diocese, in Wales and UK, and all your worldwide church. We ask that you will open our eyes fully to you and your Holy Spirit, that you will protect Christians everywhere. We thank you that for our clergy and all that help in spreading your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all people and thank you for the wonderful gifts that you give us. We thank you for the gift of marriage and pray for newlyweds everywhere, and especially thinking about Jilly and Rob. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all who are in need. May your love reach out to them. All in pain, poverty, the lonely, the dying, the bereaved, the persecuted. Let us take a moment to think of any close to our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. To you, Lord, be all the glory, praise, and honour. And we ask you to accept these prayers for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Colours of day dawn into the mine. The sun has come up, the night is behind. Go down in the city and into the street, and let's give a message to the people we meet. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. The sun still shines on, it never goes down. The light of the world is risen again. The people of darkness are needing a friend. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. Open your eyes, look into the sky. The darkness has come, the sun came to die. The evening draws on, the sun disappears, but Jesus is living, his Spirit is here. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell people of Jesus to let his love show. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show.
Now may the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.